Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Turning what might seem to be a time waster into a life changer. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is December 21st, 2013. I'm glad you're here. We're getting closer and closer to Christmas. Are you happy about that, panelists?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Love Christmas.
What do you want for Christmas? I'm going to ask you that question later because obviously Catherine and Joanna need time to think about what they want for Christmas. It's, you're running out of time. It is the 21st of December, so so we need to know very soon. So you guys think about this as we go through this program. So,
All right. And
I'm glad both of you are back here for day two of our trends article, Games for Girls, pages 32 and 33 in your Advanced magazine. And listeners, I'm glad you're back here with us also. Very interesting article about, as I said at the beginning of the program, taking something that sometimes is a time waster, just playing games, video games that people spend a lot of time on every day and don't really accomplish much other than kind of distracting themselves and maybe having a little bit of fun, turning it into a life changer. And we're talking about changing the lives of young ladies and getting them interested in fields they normally are not interested in. So that's what this whole article is about. Before we get into our reading today, I want to get a thought from each one of my panelists from something from yesterday. So first, Joanna Wirtz.
Well, listeners, I would like to direct your attention to the photo on top of page 32. It's got a bunch of ladies in a room with posters of the Nancy Drew video game by Her Interactive. And I just want to tell everyone how much I love Nancy Drew. I cannot say enough good things about Nancy Drew. I read her books all the time when I was in junior high and maybe even into high school a bit. And I loved it partly because Nancy had a boyfriend and I like romance, but also partly because she's really smart and independent. She has girlfriends who help her with her cases, not boys. And she gets into a lot of trouble, and there's a lot of action and adventure. They're very, very, very exciting books. And Nancy Drew's kind of an icon. I don't want to see her lost because it's an old, old series. My mom was reading them when she was a junior higher, too. So
that's great. Yeah, I think that's
read
so
Nancy
cool.
Drew and play the video game. Just saying how much I love it.
There you go, listeners. There you go. All right. Joanna's telling you. Do the Nancy Drew thing. Yeah. All right. Catherine Huff.
Well, it's hard to follow that one.
It is hard to follow that.
But yesterday we mentioned that a lot of young girls lose interest in science and math in the fifth or sixth grade. So I was reading and a lot of different schools and places are thinking about what can we do to keep these young girls interested in science. And one thing that they said that wasn't in the article but I found interesting was they're talking about reworking some curriculums to bring in more female engineers, female scientists, to really put these women, successful women, in front of students and say, look at what you can be, and really start a hands-on approach to all this. So I find that pretty cool.
I think it's good. Yeah. I think it's very insightful. And it kind of, you know, I'm going to go a little bit off of that, tied in with what you said, but a little bit and off of what we talked about yesterday, talking about this role model thing. And this is a big thing for me as far as understanding, okay, who are the role models for our young children, whether it's boys or girls? And you know, boys have these role models now. It's usually the tough guys that they admire. It might be athletes. When you're in fifth or sixth grade, you think of the athletes, or sometimes it might be the rap star or the hip-hop artist, or maybe even the movie actors in certain like superhero movies. That's for the boys. And what we're seeing with young ladies, the messages that they're getting a lot of times their role models that are promoted to them are maybe not really the best images of older women. And when I say older, I'm talking like women who are 20, 25, 30 years old. And a lot of times the role models might be actresses, singers, models, celebrities who may not be exactly the best role models because of some of their lifestyle choices, but also what those role models are. And we're kind of lazy as a society. We fall into that. It limits the options that these young girls have. They see this and they see, oh, this is what I have to be. I just have to grow up and base so much of my value and worth on my appearance and being sexy and cute and acting cute and attracting, you know, attention. Whereas this program that we're talking about now is talking about a whole different thing. We're talking about the cerebral aspect of these young children and saying, let's get them interested in science, technology, engineering, and math, and let's change the game instead of just that limited game that we've been doing as far as subjecting them to, as far as role models. It happens in America, and I see it happening here in Asia, so it's everywhere. So I really like this article, and I really like what they're trying to do with these games because they are using that as the medium, and that's what Taylor Washburn said yesterday. This is the medium they're on, so it's great. They're playing games. Let's use this to try and steer them in a different direction and get them interested in these STEM fields. Let's turn to our reading for today on page 33, make that. We'll split it up into two sections. Our first one will be Gaming is a Good Thing.
Gaming is a good thing. The game idea is not about fixing girls or changing girls. It's about finding a better way to portray all the exciting things you can do if you go into STEM, Peterson said. Washburn thinks it will take 3 to 5 years to create about 20 test games. He wants to test the prototype's effectiveness exhaustively, then pick the best and roll them out in some easy-to-use platform for little or no cost to the gamers. A few girl-centered games have been wildly successful. Seattle company Her Interactive, for one, has sold more than 9 million copies of a detective game built on the Nancy Drew book series. Megan Geiser, Chief Creative Strategy Officer of Her Interactive, is joining the effort to create the new game. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this initiative is that we can do this on a much broader scale, Geiser said. The Nancy Drew series is great, but there can be so many different types of content that haven't been imagined yet. It's possible to create games around anything.
Okay, believe it or not, gaming is a good thing.
That's right, and we see that the game idea is not about fixing or changing girls. It's about finding a better way to portray exciting things you can do if you go into STEM.
Okay, and that comes from Karen Peterson, who we had met at the end of our reading yesterday. And she continues with pretty much what I was talking about before we went into the reading, that let's open up the options. Let's make them aware of what is available. And actually, listeners, I was having a good conversation with Joanna and Catherine here during our reading talking about exactly that. A lot of the options that are, you know, out there right now as far as careers, both of you really weren't even aware of all of them because you just didn't even have that information, right?
Yeah, I had no idea about the variety of courses. My school course selection was so small that I didn't know about different languages. I didn't know about different sciences, different types of history, nothing. I didn't know about any of that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when you're younger, they show you very simplified versions of any job. You can be a doctor, a lawyer, but they don't show you specializations of jobs.
And jobs have become so specialized now. You can have like this niche that is exactly what you're interested in.
Yeah, you can. I was actually looking up before this, and there's a website that shows pages and pages of very specific jobs you can have if you go into these fields. And I wrote down some interesting ones. My favorite on this list might be a volcanologist. It's someone who studies volcanoes, and that's it.
That is cool.
Yeah, and there's, you know, animators for video games. There's people who, like, for the golf game, the EA golf game, there's people who go out and survey the land to make sure that it goes with the game correctly, or the game goes with the land correctly.
To make sure it's like the game is a perfect mimic
exactly.
of the golf course that they are portraying.
Yeah, and this
there.
Is...
Volcanologist, you would be traveling around the world
yeah.
studying volcanoes.
Yeah.
I said that was a cool job. I guess it would be a hot job.
I mean, yeah, it would be warm, but think of all the things you get to see.
Yeah. Those are some great examples.
Yeah.
Something people wouldn't even think about.
I know.
As far as a job.
I know. I really encourage everyone out there to go out and look this up because I was fascinated by this website.
Right.
Yeah.
So some of these disciplines, science, technology, engineering, math, they might sound boring, they might sound hard, but actually they could open up avenues to just some mm-hmm. unbelievable opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, how long is this going to take? Well, what does Taylor Washburn say?
Well, he thinks it will take 3 to 5 years to create about 20 test games.
Okay. So this group that was meeting at the university, the GAMES, Girls Advancing in Math, Engineering, and Science group, this collaborative effort, they're going to try and develop about 20 test games. And then what do they want to do with them?
Well, he wants to test them, the prototype's effectiveness, exhaustively, meaning test them from every angle, every side, see all the possible outcomes, and then after those tests are finished, they'll pick the most successful ones.
Pick the best ones and then do what?
Well, then pick the best ones and roll them out in some easy-to-use platform for little or no cost to the gamers.
Okay.
Yeah.
They might be able to do that.
I think they have a fair chance because they've got so many different people from different areas collaborating on this project. A lot of great minds will mm-hmm. find something that works, I think.
Okay. And I think the reason I say they might be able to do it for little or no cost because you can develop an app for these games, and even if it does cost a couple of dollars,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really a bargain. Mm-hmm. I mean, young girls might be happy to just put this on their phone for a dollar or two. Their parents hopefully are helpful.
Yeah, and that... That's one thing that I really like here is that they're really going into this to try to find the benefit for young women. They're not trying to go into this to find the next best app to make a ton of money here, I feel
right.
like. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, that's exactly mm-hmm. it. They're not doing this just for the money.
Yeah.
If I could get my Carmen Sandiego game back for a dollar or two, I would pay it in a heartbeat.
Carmen Sandiego game. Tell our listeners who Carmen Sandiego is or where Carmen Sandiego is.
Carmen Sandiego is a criminal, and she travels all over the world stealing different landmarks. And
yeah.
You're a detective, and you have to use the clues, the geography clues, in order to find out where she is and then get a warrant and capture her. It's, you're not actually – Carmen Sandiego is actually a bad guy. But it's really – You know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
It's, yeah. There was even a TV show, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Honestly, maybe this is an example for the listeners. I played that when I was a kid. I played it for hours and hours and hours, and I am so obsessed with geography. Still.
And now you ended up halfway across the globe.
Success!
It influenced you. It opened your mind up. It opened your world up. Said, this is possible.
It did.
I want to be Carmen Sandiego.
Maybe not, but
oh.
I learned about different cities and landmarks.
Well, in addition to Carmen Sandiego, a few other girl-centered games have been wildly successful.
That's right. With the Seattle company, Her Interactive, they have sold more than 9 million copies of a detective game that was built on the Nancy Drew book series.
Okay, which Joanna had just promoted here at the beginning of the program. And as we continue in this paragraph, we read about Megan Geiser, Chief Creative Strategy Officer of Her Interactive. And she is also joining this effort to create the new game, this collaborative effort, the National Girls Collaborative Project. And what does Megan say?
Well, she says, one of the reasons I'm so excited about this initiative is that we can do this on a much broader scale.
Okay. Initiative.
A new attempt to achieve a goal or solve a problem, or a new method of doing that kind of thing.
Okay, so this is a noun as far as saying something that is an effort, but we can also use initiative in a different way, right?
Yes, that's right.
Like say, you know, does she have initiative? Or he has a lot of initiative.
Exactly. That's right. A lot of times, or we sometimes say that people will take initiative, which mm-hmm. means that they take it upon themselves to do a job right or something.
Yeah, they're highly motivated. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of energy. They're ready to make something happen. So, all right. Megan Geiser says They want to do this on a much broader scale. And she continues, the Nancy Drew series is great.
It's great, but there can be so many different types of content that have not been imagined yet. And then she says it's possible to create games around anything.
Hmm. All right. So I think what she's saying here is it's not just Nancy Drew, but we can create games around almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not beyond Nancy Drew, right?
One thing that popped into my head, and maybe a listener will steal this idea and make it a big popular game. Lots of money.
Okay.
No, I'm sharing it with
the
world. All
right, share it with the world.
What if instead of like a Hannah Montana video game where girls have to sing karaoke or something, what if instead it was a video game about being a sound engineer for a singer? You know, this
right.
is a venue. This is a concert. This is a speaker. You know, these kind of speakers do well for this kind of situation. Like, whoa, mind blown.
Oh,
that's engineering.
Cool.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, like mixing the tracks for all the songs or something.
Right? Yeah, sound engineering, that's a job. It's an engineering job, and you get to work with music and sound, and you're still, you know, going to a pop concert, but you have a whole different view of it.
That's great. That's a great
that's
idea.
A great
Instead
idea.
Of just being the star.
So take that out of the show, and then I will patent that.
Okay, well, you still have time before everybody else does. But that's a great example, because that way – we are so focused on the star, and that's, you know, in itself is problematic in so many ways. But for young ladies, if they only see the star up on the stage, they see that as the only success when they're growing up. I have to be the star, right? And how many young ladies are maybe going through talent shows or all sorts of things in contest to be the star, compared to how many young ladies are going through the process of learning how to become a sound engineer? Not many.
Yeah, I think that the proportion is very off.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably more opportunities as a sound engineer than being a star. Yeah, there's not many stars on Earth.
Might not make as much money, but I'm betting it is more stable.
And I bet it might be more fulfilling in some ways, more satisfying.
Yeah, so that's a great example. So, all right, you better, as soon as this program is done, you better go out and patent that idea.
I will.
File the paperwork on that, Joanna.
I will. I'll do it.
Okay, let's have our final reading of this article.
Making Learning Fun. Kate Fisher, community manager for UW's Center for Game Science, said educational games have come a long way in recent years. The key, Fisher thinks, is to have great incentive structures built in. If it's not fun, and it doesn't incentivize students to continue playing, you're going to lose them, and you're going to lose them fast, she said. Peterson, herself a gamer, said the incentives will need to go beyond just scoring points or reaching new levels. They must show girls that in math and the sciences, they may need to try and fail many times to get something right. And the game also needs to show that women from all walks of life can be successful in STEM careers.
Bill Quinn here with Catherine Huff and Joanna Wirtz. We're on our last section of Games for Girls, our trends article, on pages 32 and 33 in your Advanced magazine. And we're talking about some of the people that are collaborating to create video games that are interesting for young girls in fifth and sixth grade, interesting in the way that they can create some initiative in math, science, engineering, technology, fields that these young girls typically drift away from. And this section talks about making learning fun, and we hear from somebody from the University of Washington.
That's right. We hear from Kate Fisher, and she's a community manager at University of Washington Center for Game Science, and she says that educational games have come a long way in recent years.
Okay. And so there has been some progress in that, and we did talk about the Nancy Drew games.
Mm-hmm.
And we even did an article a while back, a few years ago, about some of these Nancy Drew games and how they did appeal to young girls. And it was something that really was opening up some opportunities, making them think about some things that they really normally wouldn't be subjected to as far as, hey, I can do this. So, but there's more and more games, and they have come a long way. A lot of progress has been made. The key, according to Fisher, is what?
To have great incentive structures built in. These incentive structures, this is just what we were talking about, like with Angry Birds and Candy Crush. You have to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. You have to pass this level. It gets harder and harder. You win medals, you win badges, you win different rankings. It just gets harder and harder as you go higher and higher. And that's really a trait of video games that people enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in fact, Kate Fisher goes on to say,
right, she says if it's not fun and it doesn't incentivize students to continue playing, you're going to lose them and you will lose them fast.
Okay, incentivize.
Incentivize, meaning to make someone want to do something, such as buy something or to do work. So give them incentive. Mm-hmm. Give them a reason to do something.
Okay, I think this is true, whether it's a game or it might even be a website, a Facebook page, or anything like that that, you know, we are dealing with now digitally. It's all got to be connected, and all of it is about incentivizing people, giving them rewards for going to your website, going to your Facebook page, doing this, doing that. It's not just games, but it's a way that companies hook people and get them to come back each day, right?
That's right. And like I was just thinking in the case of the Nancy Drew games is they create a problem. Like the Nancy Drew, something happens and she has to solve a mystery. So mm-hmm. I think the incentive for the player there would be to solve this crime and rescue whoever needs to be rescued or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's a great example to give people an incentive, a reward mm-hmm. for accomplishing things. All right. Now, in this next paragraph, we hear from Karen Peterson, again, the principal investigator of the National Girls Collaborative Project. Karen Peterson herself, a gamer, said what?
Well, she said the incentives will need to go beyond just scoring points or reaching new levels. They have to show girls that in math and the sciences, they have to try and they fail sometimes before they can finally succeed and get something right.
I have to say that line right there about you need to try, but you may fail, but you have to try a lot of times to get something right, that might be my favorite part of this article, because I think a lot of times right now things are made very, very easy for students, mm-hmm. so they don't have to try as hard. And that right there, I think, is something that many students don't learn when they're in junior high or high school, that you have to try and try and try and maybe fail, but keep trying. Just
yeah,
food for thought.
Isn't there such a satisfaction when you've been trying all week long to pass a level on your favorite game and finally you make mm-hmm. it or finally you beat your score? The more effort you put into it, the more rewarding it is when mm-hmm. you finally get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in one of our other discussions off air, Catherine, you were saying how much you enjoyed math when you were in high school, and there was a certain satisfaction with actually solving a very difficult, maybe calculus equation.
Yeah, I loved it because, I mean, with math, there's usually a right answer. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes when I was doing my homework, I'd come up with random answers, but actually getting the right one out of all the possibilities, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, and there is significance in that. And you have to find the right answer. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you do a calculus equation, there is really one answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's not close. You don't get credit for close.
Yeah.
It's right or wrong. And so that's why it can be frustrating, but there is a satisfaction, as Joanna was saying, to finally actually getting it right. I'm going to go to that sentence before that, and I was talking about it yesterday, the importance of, you know, of course, rewarding people, but actually providing more meaning. For instance, with Angry Birds or especially like Candy Crush now, it's all about these reaching new levels. And, okay, we got level from 173 to 174 or 240 to 241. Okay, that in and of itself might be temporarily rewarding. And that's really what the basis of video games now. What I really like this is that there's this long-run impact saying, okay, we don't want people just to get this temporary high out of getting to the next level. We actually want to change lives. We want to change lives in these young girls and get them interested in something that really matters in life, mm-hmm. not just getting to the next level in a game, but actually saying, wow, I'm really kind of intrigued by this you know, technology. I really would like to learn how to be a science engineer or a volcanologist or something like that, not just get to the next level.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of the hook in these games that we were talking about a little while ago, the incentive, the reason for doing it, is that a lot of these games give you a real-life situation, mm-hmm. and you get very, very engrossed in it, and that makes you think about it more, and you think, how could I do something like this, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. It leads to more. It's mm-hmm. not just an end. Mm-hmm. All right, how do we finish our reading, Joanna?
Well, we also say that the game needs to show that women from all walks of life can be successful in these STEM careers, not just rich people, not just girls who go to a fancy school or a particularly difficult school. Mm-hmm. People from all walks of life, all countries, all different socioeconomic statuses, they can all make it in these careers.
We've been talking about United States, of course. And then also we have been talking about here in Asia in some of our, you know, developed economies. But as you were talking, I'm thinking all walks of life. I'm thinking, what impact would this have, for instance, with a young girl in India who happens to maybe have access to a smartphone? And she actually could become interested in a field that would be on her wildest dreams before 10 years ago. Hmm. And instead of just being, you know, limited to a very, very tiny viewpoint on life, just by having a game that actually could lead her to another direction might completely change her, lead her to something else. That's just one example.
Yeah, and I think that that's so important because if you just open someone's eyes a little bit, mm-hmm. it kind of reveals all these different possibilities, and that I think that's a very special thing.
Yeah. Okay. Now, before we sign off here, we do have a sidebar at the top of page 33. I'm going to have Catherine read that.
Okay. A call for support. Washburn hopes the group can get assistance from professional game designers as well as university researchers who study game science. If the ideas are good, he believes the necessary funding will follow from sources such as private foundations or the National Science Foundation.
Okay. Listeners, thanks for joining us here for this two-day trends article. Very enlightening to learn about some of the developments here with these games and could be life changers for some of our young ladies. So that's great news. Glad you're here. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill,
Joanna,
and Catherine
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.